Welcome back.
Kia ora, kia ora te whanau.
English, please.
Greetings, everybody. Hello, family.
How's it going?
Yeah, really good. We just did a 10 breath before we started, played a song.
Nasal breaths.
And yeah, I was crying. Maybe because I'm like day two of my period, but just like grateful as. Kia ora, everyone. Hope everyone's having a beautiful day. Yeah, but I'm just sitting in like massive gratitude, eh? Just feels good. I'm not really one to appreciate life now. Yeah.
Oh, that's good to hear. Good to hear. I just got a sore back from rock climbing yesterday, eh?
Oh, we celebrated our son's 12th birthday yesterday.
Old Marky Mark. Yeah. You know, in the previous podcast, we told a story about the young man.
And yesterday we celebrated him.
Yeah.
It was cool.
Mm. It's funny with our family, we try to include everyone in on the birthday presents. Mm. Yeah, so the kid get, or whoever's birthday it is, they get like an individual present or whatever they want, and then we all decide on what meal we want to all go out and eat.
Hold on.
Decide on the activity.
What? You decide. You persuade.
I influence the children. I manipulate the children into going to places I want to eat and doing things I want to do.
So we decide usually 2-3 days before, and then Gerhard wakes up and thinks he owns the fucking house and then tries to persuade people from the shower, from the toilet, from the garage.
I start selling it. I'm like, oh man, remember those Japanese things we ate? Remember those Japanese things we saw in that YouTube video clip?
Man. Starts putting on YouTube.
Did you know that there's a Japanese restaurant that sells exactly those things?
It's so annoying.
Yeah.
Kills me.
Usually the kids can't see through it until Ness brings it up and I'm like, ah.
Because I want them on my side, but I'm like, stick to the plan. Isn't that crazy? We have a fucking 12-year-old.
Yeah. 12-year-old. We got a 14-year-old.
Yeah, well, that too. Yeah. Time flies, man.
Mm.
We were 18. I think I was 18. Pregnant at 18. Gave birth at 19.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was a dad at 22.
Crazy.
2008. Moved over in 2007, August 2007. You moved over earlier. Mm. Yeah, that's insane.
Remember that love letter? I think we've spoken about this before. The love letter I wrote to you?
Yeah. I don't remember it.
How rude. I sent you a love letter. That's
yeah.
Because that was my like.
Was that
language.
The one where you like forced me to reply and I was like, fuck.
Yes.
Big hug, little kiss. Little hug, big kiss. Love you long time. I hope we don't have to do this anytime in the future, please.
I think that's when it stopped. I think it stopped after that. Oh, it's too funny. Yeah, how's your week been? I can't even remember the last time we recorded a podcast, but how have you been? What have you been up to?
I've been good. I've been training. Mm. Been training a lot of the boys over in Red Bank.
Do you have a name for the garage or?
No. Oh. With Eddie Fata. He's been training up the boys over there. We've got a few champions training with us now. Jake Lund and Jay Tonkin, the Dean guy. Yeah, it's good. It's the intensity of our training sessions are like shot way up. Everyone's loud as fuck. All you hear is nah, 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 nah. Or whoever's holding bats.
It's like ASMR.
Yeah, bro. So it's like, yeah, it's just ramped up levels on levels. Like boys are preparing for fights and stuff. It's fucking awesome, eh?
Mm.
It's made me like pay a lot more into attention to Muay Thai and just delving into the actual art. Picking up a few of the techniques. Yeah, it's good.
Well, for someone who's trained in like mainly, I wouldn't say MMA gyms, but
yeah, mostly
you know,
MMA
jiu-jitsu,
gyms,
wrestling.
Yeah.
And so it's cool to see you venture into something new.
Yeah, it's cool. It's cool learning something new, you know, even been working on going southpaw. Oh my God. Because I'm an orthodox fighter. I'm right-handed.
So for the noobs, what is Yeah.
Orthodox means my left hand's in front, left leg's in front, right hand's behind.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. But usually southpaws, they're lefties. They fight with their right hand in front. There's some fighters that they're right-handed, but they fight southpaw because the lead hand's the power hand, you know, their right hand's the power hand, and that's the thing they set up their shots with. Mm. Yeah, so I've been learning how to fight southpaw. It's fuck, I'm so gumby. Yeah, I can't even like hit the pads properly.
Do you look like me when I'm hitting pads? But like
probably
normal?
Worse.
Oh, shot. Makes
it feel good. It's like I'm reaching to hit the pads, you know, and I get confused when I hear 1-2 and then I, you know, my left hand shoots out for the cross. I'm like, ah, shit. And then my pad holder's like, oos, do you know your left and right? But yeah, it's been really good.
Is it helping your brain in any way?
Oh, I hope so.
Me too. I fucking hope so.
But yeah, you just feel it. Like, you feel it with the practice. Like, you might do it. I might do some southpaw rounds on Monday Wednesday will come around and I feel a lot more comfortable sitting in like southpaw and throwing those punches. Friday will come around and then I'm like even more comfortable and it becomes a little bit more natural. And it's just, you know, I guess the repetitiveness of doing that same technique or like keeping that same stance. Yeah, it's slowly getting in there. Mm. Yeah, it just feels mad Gumby throwing things from southpaw. Mm. Yeah.
It's cool to see you always. I feel like you've always trained in garages.
Yeah.
That's kind of been your home base since...
Because we can't afford the fees.
not supposed to tell can't that afford fun.
The memberships until they're like, oh, you can train for free now. You're a fighter at our gym. I'm like, oh,
shock. Crossbin.
But yeah, garages have always been like a thing for us. I guess it's because a lot of the guys I train with have never really had the facilities. So back in Sydney, we'd be training in garages with Old Fish and Livy. Mm. Shout out Livy, Knox Boxing, now training.
Where's he at now?
He's at King's Academy, Elvis's gym. Yeah, so he's running the boxing and striking program out there, which is awesome. He's got these youngins that he brought up from, shucks, I think when they were young, when they started, maybe like 7 or 8. They've been training for years now. I think they had their first amateur fights a couple of weekends ago and went pretty well. Yeah, it's nice seeing what Livy's doing over there. But yeah, we did start in garages because no one had the facilities or would go into gyms and use their facilities. But yeah, most of the stuff was learning garages, eh? Mm. Yeah.
Do you find it's a different camaraderie in a garage compared to a gym because you've got so many new people coming through, whereas this is just a set group?
I guess in gyms, they got this structure, you know, and it is like they are trying to make money off it. There's not too much money you can make off fighters unless they really hit the big time. So, you know, it is about the fundamental classes, the intermediate classes, the pro classes, and then you've got like a fight team that you'll probably be training on the side.
Mm. It's a business, really.
Yeah. You gotta make the money to provide the facilities for the fighters that you have. But then, I guess with guys that are wanting to fight and they know that that's what they're wanting to get into, they want more specialized training. So that's why we would, you know, train in the garage. We'd have the whole training set up for whoever has the fight next. Mm-hmm. You know, like we'd be setting up, organizing game plans. You know, having a look at the opponent that's coming up, figuring out little flaws they may have in their game. And then we work towards a game plan to beat that. Yeah, and we can just focus 100% on that and things that are going to strengthen that rather than teaching basic techniques, drilling basic techniques, you know, holding pads for someone that's not as experienced as you. I mean, it's good. It's awesome for, like, growing up for, you know, like, helping the next generation and learning different skills and how to communicate, like, a lesson across, like, getting someone to understand a certain technique. Mm. That's awesome. But when you're training for a fight, that's probably the last thing you want to be doing.
Mm-mm. Yeah. It's cool. You've been holding pads for me.
Yeah.
This last week.
Mm. Yeah. Your legs and shit are bruised up.
Fuck, I feel like kind of cool, but it's like not.
It's like,
ah, stop. Yeah. You know when CrossFitters and you rip your skin in your hands, you're like, yeah, 100 pull-up. That's what I feel like with bruises down the sides of my legs. Nah, it's been cool. It's been cool to... What sparked it was my initiation into anger again. I'm a person who... suppresses anger. I just don't know how to like let it out without being a cunt. So yeah, it was cool to reach out to you and say, hey, can you hold some pads for me? And I feel like I'm addicted. But because we had COVID, not you, but me and the kids, I don't know, 2-3 weeks ago. And so just grateful for my health and to be able to feel good again in my lungs and like actually move through a workout. But what I did find it helped me was transmute anger, because bro, it's hard to be
transmutation.
It's hard to be angry on the third round when you're fucking tired and just trying to keep yourself afloat. You're like, oh, anger's gone.
Yeah, where's your anger now? See, that's what I always think about people with anger issues. They're like, oh, watch out for Johnny. He's got an anger problem.
Do they always whisper as well?
Usually, you know. And all I think in my head is like, I guarantee you if I fucking sit on that cunt or hold him down, I'm not sit on, I mean a mount, shit, this is like fight talk. I guarantee you eventually the anger's going to fucking disappear. Or like if you put someone through like a wrestling round, eventually that shit's going to disappear and you're going to be trying to survive and not get a hiding. So that's my take on anger issues.
Mm.
Come to the gym, heal yourself.
I found it helped me focus because like cool, angry at whether it was a person or a thing. And then realize it was just me and my own gas tank that I was really angry at in that moment. And I found I became more focused by like the third round and the fourth round and the fifth round. And yeah, I really enjoy it. I want to keep it up.
Yeah.
It's been cool.
System with it.
Yeah.
So you can eventually hold pads for me. We can eventually do a bit of sparring, you know.
Nah, fuck that. That's scary.
Domestic violence, but you know, legal. And when the cops turn up, oh no, I was teaching her a technique. She didn't get her hands up fast enough.
Yeah, and I remember you held. I mean, I held the, what are they called, Muay Thai?
Tie pads. Yeah.
And you kicked it, and I was like, yeah, I'm not really ready for this.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're only tapping it with your foot. I'm not trying to like blow your ass or anything, but
yeah, just tapping it. Fucking strong, bro. Want to see my ninja moves, Chardonnay?
Do you ever feel like that when you go out and you see people fighting?
What do you mean?
You want to see my ninja moves?
Oh, no, not really. When I'm out in public, just shadow boxing out of nowhere. Everyone look at me. I know karate. But yeah, it's been really good. Yeah, just being consistent with the training, trying to be a little bit more responsible. Yeah.
I don't find it hard because I'm doing it, but what I get enjoyment out of is doing something that's really hard. Because I find I don't have a hard life.
Yeah.
I feel like I have a very peaceful life, and yeah, I just don't have like anything that is super, super difficult. So something that I have to show up for myself that's really hard because I'm a noob.
Yeah. Oh, like learning a new skill.
Learning a new skill.
Yeah. And like looking like a noob.
And look, bro, I look like a...
And the thing
in
is,
my head, I think I look cool, and then I look over at the window, I'm like, what the fuck?
I guess with anything, you got to look like a noob if you're ever going to be better. Man, the funniest story, I think I've told it on the podcast 50 million times, but when I went to my first ever like freestyle wrestling class at Miller PCYC, fuck, I thought I was the man. Eh? I'd been doing BJJ for a bit, I think maybe like 6 or 7 months. And then before that, I went and done a couple of classes at Lion's Den in Kings Grove. And I went to that first ever freestyle wrestling class. Oh my God, I felt like I'd been hit by a truck, man. And these trucks were like 16, 17.
15-year-old girls.
Fucking hell.
What was that wrestler's name?
Carissa.
Carissa. She was amazing.
And her brother. Oh, man, I forgot her brother's name.
She was a tank.
Man, these kids warming up. These kids are warming up doing like head springs, back flips, bloody front flips. And the thing is, like, because I'm a noob and I can't do any of that stuff, I just stick to my forward rolls and backward rolls. And just make them as dramatic as possible. They like slap the fucking mat. After my forward roll, slap the mat with both hands. Jump up, do a little bit of a run up for the next forward roll. I'm sure the little kids are looking at me going, fucking idiot. Dude. I can't wait to drop this cunt on his head.
They're rope climbs?
Oh, with no legs? The upper body strength. The strength of wrestlers, bro, is fucking insane. And you soon get rid of that whole like, oh, I'm not good enough. I can't do it like they're doing it. Once the kids start picking you up and throwing you on the floor, like some kind of competitive, this competitiveness comes out and you're just like, fuck, all right. I'm not going to let him do that again. And then he does something else and you're on the floor and you're like, what the fuck happened? Like it feels shit being the noob in the room, especially when you're older than these kids. But man, the skills that I managed to learn in those wrestling rooms, because the training sessions were like 2 hours. It wasn't just like a 1 hour class. It was always like two and a half hours, consisted of like a massive warm up. Usually we'll be playing a game, you know, like rugby with a medicine ball, but on your knees, you know, just to warm up. And then they go through this long ass warm up of like backflips, head springs, bridging, sprints, bear crawls, all of that. And then they go into technique and you're just drilling technique. There'll be like some kind of wrestling takedown or wrestling tie up that you're learning. Drill it, and then we'll go into like positional wrestling. And these rounds are short as maybe like 20 seconds, 30 second rounds. Somebody would start in like a double leg position. They're like down the bottom in a double leg where they're hugging your legs and you're standing up. And as soon as the coach says go, they just got to go 1,000,000% to try and take you down. And you got to go 1,000,000% to try and stop the takedown. And once it happens, you get up again, go again. And then after that, you go into live wrestling rounds, you know, where you get matched up with a partner. I think wrestling rounds are about 2 minutes. And you just go and go and go until someone gets pinned and you keep going and you change partners. And then after that, they do their conditioning, which is usually like wall, there's headstand push-ups or like wall climbs, all of that kind of thing, bridging again. And yeah, that's the training session. And man, and I'm stumbling out of there. And the funniest part is that I'm stumbling out of there, you know, I'm fucking sore as. And then you see these 16-year-olds that were just lifting you up and dropping you on your head, jumping into their mum's passenger seat. Hey, I'll see you later, G. I'm like, fuck, I thought you were at least like 21 or something. So yeah, the wrestling room, bro, it's, fuck, you learn a lot about yourself, you know?
Yeah, that's what I'm enjoying. I mean, like, I'm no wrestler. I've only hit pads twice, but I still think I'm a sick cunt. But it's difficult. Like, it's really difficult.
Trying something new.
Trying something new and like, again, I feel like I'm just blowing more smoke up your ass. But you're an incredible trainer. Like, you know how to... Okay, for example, I hold women's circles and you're able to hold a space in some way, and you can hear people speaking, but you can also hear something deeper and you can lead them somewhere, you know? I feel like you do the same with pad holding, as you can see things that I don't see. You see when I'm like running out of breath, or you can see when I'm dropping my hands that I don't realize, and you're able to pivot in some way or give a cue that I don't. You're able to find your words, Vanessa. See the potential in that person and take them there, so that by the end you feel confident within yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For me, I feel it's more of a being able to communicate the concept that you're trying to teach, mm-hmm. or the technique that you're trying to teach.
I think that's where the confidence comes from.
Yeah.
Is when it's like, oh, move your, like, I don't even know what you say, like push your hip forward or in the kick, and then you're like, oh, that's the power. I'm like, yes, that's
turn
it.
Turn your shoulders over, you know, like follow through, like keep your feet on the ground.
Tiny little things, yeah.
Because I think it like took years for me to try and figure that out. Mm. You know, you're watching, you get into a sport, you're watching kickboxing shit on the internet, you go and do it in person, you're like, wow, I look so shit. I don't look like Tyron Spong, what the fuck? Even my sound effects are off.
True.
And then you don't realize it's all about drilling and just making that movement second nature. And then you gradually learn like things that work for you, that work for your body, certain techniques that you're a lot more stronger in, certain things that you're weaker in. I think when I started fighting, I'd focus on the strengths, you know, just be like, all right, this is the way to beat them. This is the way to beat them. All right, they dropped their lead hand. I got a good cross. So just shoot that cross across. You know, his hand's not going to come up fast enough to cover his face. Whereas now that I'm not fighting anymore, I realize that, you know, working on your weaknesses are probably like one of the most important things, you know, to be comfortable in whatever situation you need to be in. You know, in fighting, we always do these Shark Tank rounds. And it's basically just to destroy whoever's got the upcoming fight. We try and stay away from head contact. So you'd be doing a lot of a Shark Tank round. Let's say it's MMA. You'll get a fresh like training partner every 30 seconds, and you'd either be like wrestling up against the wall, and then you transition to hitting pads, and then you transition to trying to get up off your back while someone's on top of you, and it just goes like that for a 5-minute session. Sometimes you'll get some striking, like you do some sparring in there. And generally, if you've got a good coach to be there going, you know, take away the power, work on the speed, you know, you can see the person that's in the Shark Tank round, you can kind of read from their movements whether they're completely gassed out and there's no chance they're going to be listening, or you can see if you can like allow them to fight. It's almost like spotting someone that's lifting weights, you know, helping someone in a Shark Tank round, carrying them for a little bit, getting them through certain points where they look like they're going to quit. You drag them up. And I think that's the importance of having good training partners, you know, like going into a gym, you can go in there as an individual and just try and get what you need for your fight that's coming up. Usually when you're a part of a team, we're all pushing whoever's got the next fight, whether they're a professional, whether they're an amateur. That person's the focus for whatever's happening, you know, until their fight comes around, and it's the next person, whoever's got a fight coming up. So yeah, fighting's the best. Fucking do it.
It's cool. It's cool to see your passion. It's cool to see it come through everyday life. Mm. It's nice to share it with each other as well. Like, I don't know, it's like quality time in some strange way, even though you're just telling me what to do and I'm a noob. And yeah, it's like a nice way to connect.
Yes.
Mm. Yes. Hmm.
Everyone go sign up to fighting gyms.
All yours. Yeah.
What else you been up to? You had a women's circle last week. How'd that go?
Beautiful. I'm based down at a place called I Am Healing. They're like a one-stop shop, healing shop.
Mm.
Yeah, they sell like crystals and books and all that sort of thing. It's run by Sonia. They have healing rooms upstairs, and then downstairs they have like a little yoga studio which fits probably 15 or so people. Sometimes I'm running them out of Hokoko. But just trying to move around, you know?
Yeah.
Just find, I don't know. I just really enjoy moving around. But, yeah, it was cool. It's probably like from a space-holding perspective, probably the most confident I felt. And I think it came from an experience I had sort of over the last couple of weeks around knowing the correct people for you. It's got nothing to do with the other person, but making my community a little bit smaller, which then means I'm more focused within myself and knowing, like really knowing, just the right people around you, which makes me feel like I'm using the word feel a lot, but that's all I know how to do is feel. yeah, just felt more confident. More confident in my culture, speaking my own language, just being my fucking self, you know, trusting what comes through. And for anyone who doesn't know what a woman's circle is and they're like, oh my God, what's a woman's circle? Bro, it's just a bunch of women sitting around and just letting.
Talking shit.
Pretty much. Pretty much. But it's somewhat directed. Yeah, it's funny. A lot of people think that it's a new concept, but it's been around for thousands of years. Like my people, as a Māori people, have been sitting in circle for a long time. Your people, you know, women sitting around in kitchens cooking. I don't think a woman's circle necessarily means it has to be in a particular structure, in a particular setting with candles and crystals and this kind of music. Bro, it could be at a party with like three women drinking wine, whatever you do, smoking a joint, whatever your jam is. Could be
shooting up some heroin.
Oh, maybe not, bro. Maybe. Who am I to judge? Fuck, who knows? I've never been in one of those circles.
Fuck that.
I don't want to either.
Make
but
your own fucking circle over there.
Please don't do that, Whanau. Yeah, but it's just, I don't know, for me it's something that I lacked to some degree when I became mum and a parent, and moving from place to place is finding connection, not so much with other people, but within myself and being comfortable to share what I was going through around a bunch of randoms. And it's not to say this is for everyone, you know, I don't think one thing is for everybody. It's just something that I really fucking enjoy. I love seeing who shows up on the night. And for some strange reason, every single woman that shares, I call it the thread. There's like a common thread that moves through every single person. I don't know if it's to do with like the moon and the stars or whatever's aligned, but everyone seems to have a common theme that comes through. Yeah, it's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I have another one coming up in a couple of weeks. Anyone who's interested, find the details somewhere on my Instagram. But yeah.
Oh, it's awesome.
What do you think about women's circles? Fuck, say it, Ken.
No, it's a great space. Where women can be themselves.
Why do you use a lisp every time it comes to talking about anything that I do?
Because if I ever had the chance to infiltrate a women's circle, that's how I talk about it. Oh my gosh.
Say it to people who have a lisp.
No, I think it's also me. I can see it. I can see it go both ways, you know. You can turn it into like a whaikakala fucking circle where everyone's just like bad-mouthing all the bad things that have happened to them and just offloading and talking about people rather than themselves. But I also see it as like a place to like decompress whatever you've had built up in your head that you can't speak to like your husband about, or you can't speak to your friends about, or you can't speak to the people around you. So you go to a woman's circle, you know, you go get to like vent without fear of judgment, you know. And I think that's really important for a lot of people, you know, especially my people. We hold on to like a lot of shit, bro, until that motherfucker festers. And then you end up talking some mad shit about someone, or, you know, you end up in a confrontation because you've allowed it to like fester to that point. And sometimes that happens with like the people closest to you. It's not worth it, you know. So I think these spaces are very important, whether it's for women, I guess for men, we've got our own thing. You know, the pub, burying shit in alcohol. Nah.
Training?
Nah, yeah, training, just being accountable for what you do with your time, you know. It's so easy. And I think I said this last week. I was like, we bury ourselves. Oh, sorry. We, you know, we work these 9-to-5s. We work so hard that we're using all these coping mechanisms. And they're also fucking negative, you know, the amount of caffeine that we're taking in, cigarettes, vaping, just to get by, to earn this money, to keep that roof over your head. I think just being a bit more accountable, this is for myself especially. It's like I can go off and bitch about how hard my life is and use all these other, you know, substances and stuff when I know what I need. You know, I've been through it. I know how to get my body going. I know how to get my brain going. I know who I need to talk to, you know, and you know, if I'm accountable for my actions, I'll go out and get my training session in, you know, or I'll go out and get my walk and I'll go out for my run. And I think, yeah, just making better decisions that will help you. I guess when I was younger, I didn't give a fuck. I wasn't that aware. I wasn't that aware of my body. I wasn't that aware of how like powerful my mind was. I thought with my upbringing that you need to make it to university and get a degree to have any kind of footprint on this world, you know, or else you're just going to be that guy working in the warehouse, that guy working in the office, in the call center. I realize now that you can be the best fucking call center person in the world. Mm. You know, you can make that your life's purpose. Everyone I would talk to, I'm going to make a connection with them. I'm going to make sure I find out their problem and have a solution for them.
Mm.
Yeah, and just realizing the world's what you make it. You want the big thing, you better be able to sustain the big thing and chase it down and hold it, you know, and then grow from there.
What big thing?
Like fancy cars.
Oh, sorry. Memberships. I was somewhere else.
Memberships to fancy gyms. They got saunas and stuff in there.
I hear a bit of jealousy. Or
what?
Is there a gym around there? Around here? That's like that? That has
heaps of them. They got City Cave. I think there's like a gym down at Springfield.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, they got gyms everywhere now that, you know, all the COVID restrictions are coming down.
Fuck, how good is that? I mean, not that it really affected me and my family too much, but everything feels different. So many more people are out, and I don't know, it's just nice to see family celebrating and going out enjoying food and spending
Malls
time.
Malls are packed, parks are packed.
It's cool. Mm. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, hard.
Mm. Gerhard's giving me the nod.
Yeah, I'm giving you the nod. We're trying to figure out a way to close off podcasts.
Yeah, we're pretty shocking at it.
Yeah, but every time we like look at each other, it's a it's like, what, you got another point? But it's like, no, I'm trying to close it down. It's like, say something. Stop looking at me. All right, bye.
I think that's how the last one ended.
Anyway, thanks for listening. I think Ness is going to be chucking something up on the Coco Talk podcast Instagram page, just different topics you'd like us to cover.
Yeah, we're trying to avoid going down too much of a rabbit hole where this is what we're speaking about. We're just, I don't know, just going with the flow and chatting and just sharing our life.
Yeah.
But if you have anything that you want us to speak specifically on, then we can weave it through the thread somehow.
Yeah, and we are looking at, I am looking at starting up, what would it be called? A series, you know, the One Out series.
What's it called, yeah?
One Outs. You know what One Outs is?
No.
One Outs.
Okay.
It's something when we were growing up. It's pretty much just a one-on-one. You know, when we were growing up, if you had an issue with someone, you hit them up. Yeah, one-on-one then.
And what are you going to be talking about?
Just be talking to different fighters.
Sure.
Fighters, coaches, seeing how their life's been, what they've been up to, what got them into fighting. Because I find fighting so interesting, bro. Because not everyone does it. You know, everyone can talk about doing it. Everyone can get drunk and go punch on with someone in a pub. But to make the actual decision that, you know, I'm going to make some money out of this, or I'm going to go and challenge someone at this. I think when I started, money wasn't really the issue. I think I had issues going around in my head that I needed to deal with, and that was the only way I could really deal with it. So yeah, I think it'll be interesting to hear directly from fighters. Not so much like the interview, you're going, oh, how long you been training? What's your main influences? Nah, I want to hear about the bad shit. You know,
I like fighters' stories. Like,
I want to hear about the purses. I want to hear about the dramas with the promoters. Yeah, that's, you know, I want to hear about the weight cuts gone wrong. We almost die in a fucking sauna. Yeah. So
yeah, that's
keep an ear out for One Outs.
Thank you everyone who sent us messages and supported us to random humans on this planet. We really do appreciate it. And we're not one, like, we don't have a massive audience, but we feel like we're speaking to a room of like 20 people. And that feels really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Grateful as. Have a beautiful week. Take care of yourself. Do some exercise.
Love you long term.
Check off.